Welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this 16th day of December 2023. Sabbath blessings also to those joining us on the phone or listening to the recording. And praise God for bringing us safely through another week to another blessed time of fellowship with one another. Before we get into our study book, it's time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for our service?
If we can bow our heads and our knees as possible as we go before the throne. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee, Lord, to give you thanks and praises, thank you for granting us another Sabbath, Father, that we can be able to come together from all parts of the world. Father, we pray that you may continue to teach us and help us, dear Lord, to carry these words to those that are in darkness. We pray, dear Lord, that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, Father, to reach all hearts. And to carry it, Father, deep into the heart soil by the Spirit of God. Lord, be with all that are in affliction, those that are sick, those that are shut in, Father Jesus, and those that may not have the word, Father Jesus. I pray that your instrument may be able to reach them. For there is a famine that is happening in this world, Father, and it's the famine of the word of God. In the pureness that it's supposed to be, Father, we pray that you may continue allowing the third angel's message and the loud cry to reach as much people as possible. Prepare us, Father Jesus. Lead us, Father. Sanctify us, Father Jesus, that we may take this work till the time that you will come through the eastern sky, Father. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our shortcoming. Bless the children, Father Jesus. Thank you for giving them the opportunity to be able to partake, dear Lord, and their parents as well. Be with us during these other services, Father Jesus, is my prayer. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. We are continuing in our study book. This is Christ Object Lessons, Chapter 20, Gain That Is Lost. And we left off not quite halfway on page 258 to the paragraph that begins, "But the wisdom of this world." We'll find out more about the world's wisdom in just a bit. The last thing that we were discussing is that the foolish rich man had focused all of his interest upon himself, had hoarded all of the blessings that God had given to himself, and had expended the money that he had upon himself. And when he had enough food set aside for many years and never had to go out and work for quite a while, that's when his probation closed and his life ended. So all of that selfish absorbing to himself was for nothing because he wasn't able to enjoy it. And so this parable Christ was bringing out, that God's blessings are bestowed upon us so that we can help others, not hoard it to ourselves, not focus upon how it will benefit us, but instead to look outside of ourselves to see how we can aid and help others with the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. That way, God will be glorified people will be better off for our help to them. And they in turn will praise God for the kindness that has been bestowed. And how much better an existence would that be? To see people around you happy and glorifying God, and in turn, you become that much more happy and praise God for his many and wonderful blessings. So if you hoard to yourself, you're going to die. But if you share with others, then you'll be like God and have the precious privilege of being saved. So that's where we left off last time, and now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. But the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. 1 Corinthians 3:19. While the rich man is looking forward to years of enjoyment, the Lord is making far different plans. The message comes to this unfaithful steward. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Here is a demand that money cannot supply. The wealth he has treasured can purchase no reprieve. In one moment, that which he has toiled through his whole life to secure becomes worthless to him. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? His broad fields and well-filled granaries pass from under his control. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Psalms 39, verse 6. So what does it mean here that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God? Does it mean that the world is not wise in any area?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, that's true. There is a lot of wisdom in this world. But the ways of the world are foolishness with God. So you may think that you're following the wisest plan, and it's nothing but foolishness. So it doesn't matter how wise you may think you are. If you follow your own heart, it's foolishness. So there's a lot of wisdom in this world. There's wisdom that you can see in nature. There's wisdom that you can see in how buildings are built and so on. But the ways of this world, the plans of this world, is foolishness with God. If you try to leave God out of the picture, you won't be wise at all. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
Elder Rob, the scripture, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways thy ways," said the Lord, comes to mind in the sense.
Amen. That's a great text. And so why is it that our plans without God is foolishness? Any ideas? Aren't we wise? Can't we reason from cause to effect? Can't we determine between right and wrong? So then why are our ways and plans without God foolish?
Well, only the Lord knows the outcome of our decision making.
We are to be co-laborers with Christ. He wants to lead us because everything that we have, everything that we do, is from Him. That He, everything that, should go back to Him. So we should never leave Him out. He should be ahead of us and we should be able to follow.
The scripture, lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path, comes to mind as well.
Amen. All great points. Brother Joel, I think I saw your mic on. You have a thought you'd like to share?
Well, actually, dear brother, it was already answered, so that's why I turned it off. Thank you, though.
All right. Praise the Lord. So, amen. I mean, notice here that the rich man was wise enough to plow his fields, to make sure they had plenty of water, to reap them, to store the grain in the barn. He was wise enough to do all that. He was wise enough to know how to build a bigger barn, big enough to store the abundance of the harvest that he received. So he was wise in all of that, in the ways of life. But he was a fool because he had left God out of the picture. So he was breaking the first four commandments. He was not honoring God. He was not loving God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he was also leaving out the last six commandments, which dealt with how he should treat his fellow man. So he was wise in obtaining material and preserving material. But he was foolish because he left God and his fellow man out of the picture and thus was a commandment breaker.
With this, the confirmation is made. When you travel, mostly in your humanity, which is limited, and not try to be concerned in your spirituality, you usually get into problems. Worse when you can't see ahead of you and you need the Lord to guide you and show you the right way so that you can stay on the path that is designed for you to follow. Many of, I generalize the world is more concerned of material things. Why? Because they cannot see the spiritual things. And they haven't even tried to be concerned that they are dependence of the Lord. And why? Because they have no knowledge of the Lord. And this is what makes it so difficult. And most of us have a job to do because we that are concerned about salvation and who has the power to give us that salvation, when we look upon our fellow man, that also is our concern to try to attract them to the Word of God so they won't be lost. It's not an easy thing, neither for the person that is lost, nor for the person that is trying to attract them to the right path.
Amen. Amen. You know, when you think about it, what's going to happen when we die? The Bible brings out you're either going to be saved or lost. So then, while we live, we need to make sure that we follow a path in which we're going to live after we die. And not we're going to be destroyed after we die. But a lot of people don't have the thought of what's going to happen once they die. They think that they're going to live for another 30, 40, 50 years. You know, if they're 20 or 30. So they don't have a thought about getting ready for what happens after death or what happens when Christ comes. They keep putting it off and they allow the temporal today to focus their whole life upon. That's what happened with this rich man. He wasn't concerned about the future. He wasn't concerned what was going to happen when he died. He felt that he had many, many more years to worry about that. And so he focused everything upon the present. And he had the present all taken care of. And even part of the future. For many years, I don't have to worry about any kind of income. I can live off of what I have achieved. But then he died that night. So his whole idea of living for the present, because he felt that he had many years to come, was foolish. Not a single one of us here is promised tomorrow. It doesn't matter how old or young you may be. So if you may die tonight, what's going to happen when you're resurrected? You're going to be in the first resurrection? Or are you going to be in the second resurrection? How do you know? Are you living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God because you love him? If so, then you're going to be in the first resurrection because it's a promise of God. But if you're not living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God because you have other interests, then there's no assurance you're going to be saved. Every indication reveals you're going to be lost. That's why the Bible brings out today is the day of your salvation. not tomorrow, not next week, not 50 years from now, today. How is your relationship of God today? The rich man forgot to make sure his life was right with God that day. And he died that night, lost. That's why he is called foolish. He had all the wisdom he needed in order to make all the money that he wanted. But he didn't make sure his life was right with God. And the thing of great importance to have salvation, he forgot about. That made him a fool. Don't follow his example. Any thoughts, comments, questions, dear ones?
I have a question. What came to my mind when I was listening to the story of the rich man, and I was wondering if the first children, which was Cain and Abel, could this be also be compared to their situation where one offered the sacrifice that was what's supposed to be offered and the other one offered fruit? Could this be compared to the situation with the rich man?
Yeah, in a way, because again, you have two different groups. Cain focused on what he could do to obtain God's favor. Abel focused upon what God would have him do in order to gain God's favor. So here the foolish rich man focused upon what he could do to become well off in this world. He really didn't have a thought about God. Cain did, but he chose not to follow God's plan, but his own plan in order to please God. So by his own works, in other words. So you have two groups. One was foolish and one was wise. Christ is bringing out in this parable the foolish side, right? With Cain and Abel, you see both groups portrayed there. Both groups want to please God. So it's a little different here. This parable focuses on the foolish without a thought of God. But when you looked at Cain and Abel, they both wanted to please God, but they had two different ways to go about it. Abel followed the command of God. Cain followed his own command, his own law. And so those two groups, those who choose to follow custom and tradition or make their own laws to please God, are cursed. But those like Abel, those who follow God's law, revealing their love for him and the desire to please him, will be saved. So thank you, dear sister. Any follow-up comments or any other thoughts that you'd like to share?
I'm thinking this earth belongs to God. It doesn't belong to man. And we're given a few years to live in this world that was made by God. When I was younger, I had a backyard full of flowers and beautiful things that I loved to tend. It reminded me of God. And then there came a time in my life when I couldn't pull the weeds out of the garden anymore. I couldn't even get out and water it. And so that tells me there's a time, there's a right time to live and do all you can for God, but if you don't know him, everything will pass away as well as you. If you pass away not knowing God, you're gone forever. So all of these things in the world that can remind us of God and how much he loves us is meant to show us that there is a God who holds the keys to eternal life. And you can choose to follow him. He leaves a lot of evidence that he is all powerful, and he is your God, and he holds the keys to eternal life and happiness. Why not belong to him instead of a few years on this earth?
Amen, dear sister. I wish it was closed. I will pull the weed for you. Because I love flowers. But you know, that was one of the things that I was very sad when I first got the message. I was like, oh my goodness, it's so late. It's so late in the day for us to be able to do that. Because when the message came to me, it was back in 87, 88. And I thought I was so late that I left everything and left the country so I could sit down and read the Bible, because I was tired. Every time when I'm trying to go to work, I keep passing my stop. Because I put myself down. I started to be able to read the spirit of prophecy, and I keep passing the stop. I had to get off and then come back again. It just was not enough time. The more that I was hearing, I realized that there was so much that I needed to learn, and the time that we have, in the time that when I heard it, there was like Jesus is about to come, and I was thinking about my family, my friend. There was so much people that didn't know, and it is amazing, dear sister, as you were sharing. In the time that I got the message, I was like about how old I was, like about, you said 25 years old, and to me 25 is a half of 50. So I felt that I was still late. So it's amazing to all of those little ones that are listening. If you give the time for the Lord, it will even make it better for whatever it is, because he has that gift for you. He has what you may be thinking that you could do without him. He will even make it greater, and not only for yourself, but for anybody that is in contact with you. And, I would not say I would like to do it all over again, because God timing is perfect timing. But if I would have gave the Lord the chance way after, I could imagine what the Lord could have done.
I agree with you,
my dear. Go ahead, brother. Me,
because I am a witness. Because when you were getting closer to God with a necessity, with a yearning, when you were with me in Mexico, in Cancun, I had the opportunity of seeing life differently, watching you mature. And I remember that you had a lot of friends and people that were very close to you. And you left all of that under, I would say, a yearning that you might not have known at the moment that the Lord was calling you. But I witnessed how he called you. I watched you study. I was too so concerned in trying to make a change with your life. And it was amazing to me, being my youngest daughter, you were so concerned to get as close as you can to the Lord, to please the Lord, and to dedicate the rest of your time in learning about the Lord. I saw this. And somehow, it spread to me. Because I was in the world. I was entertaining and thinking that entertaining is going to give me the fortune and the recognition that anyone would yearn to have. And I saw all of this, as Solomon said in Proverbs, is a waste. And when you decide to get to know God through Jesus, because without Jesus, I don't think many of us would ever get that close desire to learn about the ways of God. But I had to stand on the side and see all this was working upon my daughter. And see the depth that she went into to be a child of God. Her journey started from back there. And I'm elated to say this. I'm so happy. So very happy that I have all my daughters following and reading and learning and yearning to be a child of God. Not many of us as parents have this privilege to experience and have a closer connection with God through their children.
Amen. Any other thoughts or comments that you'd like to make, dear ones?
Just want to say that when you belong to God, the amount of brothers and sisters that are your brothers and sisters that you didn't know about before, we're all of the same family, and that's the way God planned it in the first place. He's our Father, and we're His children. And the love that He gave us is life-giving. We wouldn't have that love if it were not for God. So when you know God, you have a perfect life as far as love goes, and eternity. Might have to endure a few arrows in this world, but the outcome is so much better.
Amen, my twin. Amen. Your words cut deep down. Your words are so true, fool. You can feel it vibrate within you. Because when we get to have a close knowledge of truth, is the opportunity we get to get to know God, the God of love, the God that cares for each one of us, the God that gave His Son for us. I get emotional maybe sometimes when truth appears. And with truth, there's no back door. It's all leading forward, upward, and beyond. And when you reach a certain distance, He allows you to see the gates of heaven. And that is beautiful.
Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The only thing that would be of value to him now he has not secured. In living for self, he has rejected that divine love which would have flowed out in mercy to his fellow men. Thus he has rejected life. For God is love, and love is life. This man has chosen the earthly rather than the spiritual, and with the earthly he must pass away. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Psalms 49:20.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Any thoughts or comments on this paragraph?
I have a question, dear brother. The life of Cain, being the firstborn, and what took place, and the walk that he chose, does it create a deep influence from Cain down with all the firstborn?
Now, that's an excellent question. I wouldn't say necessarily that there's the same tendencies in the firstborn to follow their own ways instead of the ways of God like Cain did. But with human nature, that's always the case. So not so much just with the firstborn, but with everyone that is born. But it is quite ironic that the very first angel that was created was Lucifer. And the very first human that was born was Cain. And each of them followed in the same pathway. It is quite interesting that way. But there were many other firstborns that did not follow in the way of Cain. So So it's each one of us has a fallen, sinful human nature that we have to wrestle with in order to follow the ways of God. And we can have all the desires to do right, but we will never of ourselves do right. We have to have God's grace and His divine power to enable us to follow our desires to do right. Yeah, Reuben, he chose his own way. But he was repentant and will be saved. So there's hope. Amen. Jesus was the firstborn of Mary. Joseph from a previous wife had all his other children. But Christ was the firstborn of Mary, and he chose always to do the will of God. Amen. So there's always that tendency, and of course the devil is going to be working upon every firstborn child to follow his example, just like Cain did. But there's hope in Christ.
Well, this gave a chance, an opportunity of all the firstborn to take a look into their life.
Amen, amen. And just as our dear sister pointed out earlier in the text, that the plans that she followed without God's rulership in that didn't amount to much at all. And so then the plans that she would form with God and His approval, of course, would bring His blessing and accomplishment. So we have to bring God into every aspect of our plans, of our life, and then choose to follow His wisdom, His will, His law, His word, and be willing to make changes, be willing to accept God overruling in our plans. And that can be very hard because you have a schedule that you follow, right? Well, God doesn't follow our schedule. He follows His schedule. So He may approve the plans that you're bringing about, but it's on His timeline. So we have to be willing to allow God to overrule in our plans, so that His perfect will can be accomplished at the proper time. That means we have to submit to God's rulership. So you may have planned to go to town and do shopping and care for that part of your family responsibility and come back home at a certain hour and have a meal prepared for dinner or whatever it may be. You have to allow God to overrule in those plans if He sees that it's necessary. On the way to town, your car may break down. Well, obviously you can't keep your plans. Your schedule now is all out of whack. But if you've allowed God to rule in your life, you won't become upset that your plans are being messed with, but you'll submit to God's plan. So then you call for the tow truck, and the guy comes out and takes your car. You know, sometimes you're just out of gas. Sometimes it's something, your battery needs to be charged, and other times it needs to be taken to the dealership to get repaired, or to the auto shop. All of those people, the tow truck, the auto mechanic you're dealing with, the person at the counter that you give him all your information and he schedules your car to come into a certain bay to be looked at, and all of those people you never would have met on your schedule. And so for God to overrule in that schedule and allow you to meet all of these strangers you never would have met on your timeline is an opportunity to witness to them. God allowed that to occur. So instead of being upset, thank you, God, I never would have been able to meet this tow truck driver, you know. And make the most of that opportunity to give them a track, to be kind to them or whatever, so that they'll recognize, wow, most people are really upset when their car breaks down and they can't do what they had planned. But here you're actually happy. How can that be? Well, there's a wide open door for you to share. Hey, I've given my life to God. I've allowed him to rule in my plans, and he had this little shortcut that, you know, came into my schedule today. There's a reason for it. Perhaps God wanted me to meet you so that I could share Christ with you or share this track with you. You know, something they wouldn't expect to happen. So it's an opportunity, and we need to open our eyes to see these opportunities. Go ahead, dear sister.
It's funny that you said that, because my truck went out yesterday. But I've been having problems with my vehicle for the past week, and it finally went out yesterday, but I was able to go get it fixed. But a few years ago, I had made plans with my children, this was a while back, to go to New York, and I got my income tax, at this time I had a different vehicle. Got the car fixed, got it inspected, got oil changed, got new brakes, got new brake lines, got everything done on it so that we would be able to get there, have a little moment with his family, and come back. Well, shortly after I got the car fixed, I have no idea what happened, but we weren't able to go, and I kind of got upset, and I'm like, so I just spent all this money getting my car ready and fixed and made plans. I had reservations already made to get to New York just for us to not be able to go. I was so upset. So I feel like I just wasted my time and my money. And so I ended up calling Sister Rosie at this time, and she explained to me, well, maybe God has other plans, because, you know, the Lord doesn't allow certain things to happen in vain. Well, he doesn't allow anything to happen in vain. So it kind of helped me calm down a little bit. And then I get a phone call from my mom telling me about some things with my brothers. So we ended up going to Kentucky instead. Not knowing that at the time, Sister Brenda lived out there. So she lived literally about 5 minutes away from my brother. And I got to help my brothers out a little bit. And then upon staying at my brother's house, we were able to meet up with Sister Brenda and her family. So my plans did not work out the way I wanted them to. But I was able to get to Kentucky. While being there, I didn't have enough money to get back, which was weird, but I had to give some pamphlets to my younger brother because he was into some stuff that he needed to get out of. So I had to show him some things as far as what the Lord said about, like, the Pokemon cards, I think is what it was at that time. And so I had to give him some information about that and minister to him, and also help my other brother who was there.
And then I remember the day that we had to leave, I was like, man, we don't have enough money for gas to get back. So I just left it in prayer. I just left it in prayer. I said, I know we didn't get here just to get stuck. And I just prayed about it and left it alone. And then we ended up going to Sister Brenda's house, and I met with them and their family. And then by the end of that day, there was money in my PayPal, and it was enough for us to get back home. So, no, our plans may not work out according to what we want to do, because I just wanted to have family time with my children. So New York, for me, in my own head, was like the best way to go to New York. We can go eat and go shopping and spend some money. But that's not what the Lord had planned in mind. So we ended up going to Kentucky instead to minister to my little brother. He was able to get rid of his Pokemon cards. That is a whole different story all on its own. And was delivered from that. And I was also able to meet Sister Brenda for the first time. So it all worked out.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, dear sister. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
I was going to add on a very, very old phrase from my relative, my elder relative, my grandparents, and they always concern in telling me, Rudy, be careful of the company you keep. And that was a heavy, heavy statement that put me to get deep and to look around to see who I was associated with, what style of life were they carrying, was it convenient for me to be a part of them. And over the years I realized and understood the statement when I started to study the Bible.
Man, praise the Lord, dear brother. Well, I think we'll stop here, and next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph that starts out. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And that's at the very bottom of page 258. So God is love. And love, or God, is life. May we have God's love in our hearts so that we may share God and his love with others. And who would like to have our closing prayer?
Dear Father God, we thank you for this hour and this part of the sermon that has made us get a closer understanding of the path that we're supposed to follow and to continue on, all of us. But most of all, we know that we need your guidance. We need to acknowledge that we can do nothing without you. And we need to receive the strength to be able to do our battle with the enemy that is very sharp with its dart that he shoots against each of every one of us. But what is most concerning is to know that you walk with us. You protect us. You cover us with your spirit. You give us your son so that we can understand more deeply who you are and what you are to each and every one of us. And we are most delightful to be able to get together every Sabbath and get closer and closer to what is needed for us to gain our salvation, which is the order and the command to keep our behavior in the right direction, to keep our thoughts clean, to keep our heart desiring to be close to you, to be close with the family that you gave us, all our brothers and sisters that are here sharing this moment. We thank you. We thank you so deeply in giving us the love that we need to have and to understand when it's mentioned, God is love. We thank you for this section of the sermon and to bless the speaker in continuing on to the next section. Bless him, dear Father God. He's well trained by you to give us all of the solution and the answers to all our doubts and to keep us minding on everything that is good and worthy. Thank you, dear Lord, as we continue on. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So next time we'll pick it up at the bottom of page 258. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And let us take a 14-minute break and then return back here at 12:05 Pacific time or 3:05 Eastern for our main church service. So we'll see you at that time, dear ones.